Good morning. Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, Luke chapter 2. I'll be reading from the New International Version. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1 through verse 20. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Verse 13. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Verse 16. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Thus reads the word of God.
Okay?
Yeah.
Good, good. That's what I want to hear. Amen. Everybody watching at home, we wish you were here with us, but we're glad you're here online, right? Wonderful reading. Thank you, Matthew. Hey, your title for today's message is this: Preparing Hearts for Salvation. Preparing Hearts for Salvation. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I finally prepared my heart for the salvation that God gave me. I was a bad dude. I was not good. I was not nice. I wasn't going nowhere. And God said, what are you doing, stupid? And I said, doing what I want to do. How many of y'all ever been there where you're doing what you want to do? Amen. So I'm glad he said, well, you need to stop doing that foolishness, because that's all we do on our own is foolishness, isn't it? And he said, come on home, son. Come on home. And I said, okay. And we've been riding together ever since. So our story today is this. We have the gift of obedience that prepares our hearts for Christ. We'll get to the scripture that Matt read here in just a minute. But your first scripture is going to come from the book of book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 5 through 10. Hebrews 5:10 NIV version says this. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me with burnt offerings and sin offerings. You were not pleased. Then I said, here am I. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God. First he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law. Then he said, Here I am. I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. Amen. Let's pray real fast. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I ask you right now, get Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Lord, may it be your word spoken and not mine, Lord. Lord, as always, may you open our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, for the blessing and the message that you have for us, Lord. Lord, during this Advent season, Lord, may we continue to celebrate your miraculous giving to us, Lord, of your Son, Jesus, Lord. Lord, we ask you to be with us through the rest of the service. In your name I pray. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. So as we enter our final week of our Advent season, our hearts should be filled with anticipation. The candles for the Advent wreath remind us of the light that is coming into the world through Jesus Christ. In today's scripture, Hebrews 10:5-10, it invites us to reflect on the purpose of Christ's coming and how His obedience reshapes our understanding of God's will. This passage not only points us to the manger itself, amen, but also to the cross, reminding us that Christmas is truly a story of salvation. Amen. We'll see the insufficiencies of the sacrifices of the old law. Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. The writer of Hebrews reminds us that the old system of sacrifices and offerings was never enough to reconcile humanity to God. The blood of the bulls and the goats, though commanded by the law at that time, amen, could not cleanse the conscience or bring a lasting peace. These rituals, as they were but shadows pointing to a greater reality, pointing to a Savior who fulfilled the law perfectly. In this season, we often focus on the external preparations, decorating our homes, buying gifts, preparing meals. But God is not impressed by our outward displays, is He? If our hearts, their self, are distant from Him. What He desires is our completely surrendered to Him. Our hearts prepared as a dwelling place for His Son Jesus. We see the obedience of Christ in verses 7 and 9. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God. Jesus' coming was not an accident, was it? It wasn't accidental, but it was intentional. He came into the world fully aware of what His mission was, to do the will of the Father. His obedience was not begrudgingly, was it? But it was joyful. From the manger to the cross, Jesus' life was marked by complete alignment with God's will. How many of us need some realignment with God's will today? Amen. This Advent, we're called to emulate Christ's obedience. Are we willing to say, here I am, Lord, even when His will challenges our comfort or challenges our plans? True worship is not merely singing carols or attending church services, amen? But it is offering our lives as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God daily, day in and day out. We also see the perfection of God's will in verse 10. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the blood or the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Through Christ's obedience, God's will is accomplished. We are sanctified. Trust me, we cannot do that on our own. Amen? His single, perfect sacrifice replaces our endless cycles of offerings. This is the good news of Christmas. Not that just a child was born, Amen. But that salvation has come to us. As we light that last candle, it is a candle of love. Let us remember the depth of God's love demonstrated in Christ Himself. He became flesh to redeem each one of us, to make us holy, and to restore our relationship with the Father. This transformative love compels us each to live differently, to love others sacrificially, and to walk in the light of His truth. So today we should prepare our heart, just as Mary prepared to welcome Jesus into the world. Prepare our hearts today to welcome Him anew. Spend time in prayer and reflection, asking God to reveal areas where you need to align more with His will. We can also practice our obedience. I'll get that word out. Look for ways that we can say, "Here I am, God," to God's call in our lives. Whether it's reaching out to somebody in need, forgiving a past hurt, or stepping into a new ministry, trust that God's will, not ours, amen, is good and perfect. And we can also share the gift of Christ over this time. This week, let's join the hope of Christ coming overflow into our acts of love and our acts of kindness. Share this message of salvation with those around you, because that's truly what we're called to do, isn't it? Tell everybody. Not just through the words, but through your actions. Hebrews 10:5-10 reminds us that Advent is not merely a season of waiting, but it is a season of preparing. Christ's obedience to the Father will bring us salvation. Now, as His followers, we're invited to respond with our own obedience, offering our lives as a gift to Him. Now, the message that Matt read from Luke 2:1-20 is a Christmas story that was narrated in those verses. It's one of the most profound accounts of God's intervention in our human history. It tells of a Savior born in a humble manger, bringing hope and salvation to all. This passage also reveals the heart of the Advent season, anticipation, incarnation, and redemption that we can have. Today we're going to explore the text a little bit to understand this message of salvation and how for us to call to respond. We see the sovereignty of God in history, Luke 1:1-7. The opening verses set the stage, don't they, with a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Though it seems like an act of human governance, it's a display of God's sovereign plan. The census itself brings Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem, fulfilling the prophecy in Micah 5:2. "But you, Bethlehem Ephraim, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one of the that will be ruler over Israel." God uses the ordinary and even the oppressive structures of the world to accomplish His divine purposes. Are we trusting in His sovereignty, even though in the chaos of the world that we live in today? We'll also see the humility of Christ, verses 6-7. Jesus, the King of Kings, is born in the most unassuming of circumstances, wrapped in the swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. His arrival defies human expectations of grandeur. The humility is a foreshadowing of His ministry and mission. The humility of Christ challenges each one of us to reconsider our own values. Do we seek power? Do we seek status? Or do we embrace the humility modeled by our Savior? We also see the proclamation of God's good news, verses 8-14. The announcement of Jesus' birth is made to shepherds, a group often marginalized or overlooked. The angel declares, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. We see the universal joy, don't we? The message of salvation is for all people, breaking down all barriers of class and nationality. And we see through the Lord's birth, we see the peace on earth. The angelic chorus sings of peace for those of who God's favor rests. The peace is not merely the absence of conflict, is it? But it is the presence of reconciliation with our God. How do we share the good news with others? Are we inclusive in proclaiming the hope and joy of Christ? Are we on the other side? Are we doing it to everybody? Amen. We also see the response of faith there in 15 through 20. The shepherd's response was immediate, wasn't it? They didn't wait. They hurried to Bethlehem. They witnessed the baby Jesus. And then they spread the word about what they had seen and what they had heard. Their actions embody the faith and the obedience. Mary herself treasures these things in her heart, pondering their significance. Her example invites us to immediately or meditate deeply on the truth of the gospel. Like the shepherds, we're eager to encounter Christ and share Him with others. Like Mary, do we take time to reflect on God's work in our lives? The birth of Jesus is the advent of salvation. It's a call to recognize God's sovereignty, to embrace the humility of Christ. It's to rejoice in the good news and to respond in faith. As we celebrate this season, let us remember that the manger points to the cross. And the cross leads to what? An empty tomb. Amen. Jesus came to bring salvation to the world, in a world desperately in need of hope. We see a few things that we can do. We can trust God's plan. Even when life seems uncertain, remember that God's working in all things for His glory and our good. We can embrace His humility, follow the example of Christ by serving others selflessly, and share the good news. Be bold. Don't be timid. Don't be quiet and meek. Amen. Be bold in proclaiming the message of salvation to everybody and those around you. And we can also meditate on God's Word. Like Mary, treasure and ponder the truths of the Scripture in your heart. May the message of Luke fill us with hope, joy, and a renewed commitment to life as witnesses of God's salvation this Advent season and beyond. Christmas is a season of celebration. It's a season of joy. It's a season of remembrance. But beyond the lights, the gifts, and the festivities, Christmas holds a profound spiritual significance. It's a story of God's divine plan for human salvation. And Luke 1 through 20 vividly portrays the birth of Jesus, the Savior, and reveals how this event transforms lives and offers hopes to all. We got the historical setting. Luke begins by grounding the story in history. Jesus Augustus declares the census. This reminds us of God's work within human history to accomplish His eternal purposes. Mary and Joseph's journey to Bethlehem again fulfills the prophecy of Micah 5:2, showing God's prophecy and sovereignty in orchestrating events. And we also see the humble beginnings. Jesus, the King and King, was born in a manger, symbolizing humility and accessibility. The humble birth underscores that salvation is not reserved for the elite, amen, but it is available for all, regardless of what our status might be today. We also see the announcement of the salvation to the shepherds. The angel's message came to the shepherds, individuals often again marginalized by society. That reflects God's heart for the lowly and the outcast. The good news But Jesus' birth is for all people, breaking barriers of class, race, and nationality. And we also see that angelic proclamation. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. The message highlights two outcomes of Jesus' birth. We give glory to God. His redemption plan reveals His love, His wisdom, and His power for us. And it will give us peace on earth. Not merely, again, the absence of conflict, but reconciliation between humanity and God through Christ. But we have to have that response to that salvation, don't we? We have to have an obedient faith. The shepherds act on the angel's message, going immediately to Bethlehem to see Christ the child. Their immediate response demonstrates that true faith itself results in action, movement. Amen. We can also see the proclamation and praise. After encountering Jesus, the shepherds shared the good news with others, becoming really the first evangelists of the gospel. Their joy and worship remind us today that salvation itself compels us to glorify God and to testify to His goodness. And we also see Mary's reflection through it. She pondered the events in her heart. She modeled the importance of meditating on God's work in her lives. Salvation is both a personal and a communal experience, requiring moments of reflection and sharing. So what does Christmas mean for us? One, it means we need to recognize Jesus as the Savior. Christ is not merely about the baby in the manger, but about God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. We have to respond with faith and action, like the shepherds did. We have to respond to the message of salvation by seeking Jesus Himself and sharing that good news with others. And we have to experience that peace and joy. Embrace the peace that comes from our reconciliations with God. Let the joy of salvation overflow in our worship and our gratitude. The Christmas story is a story about salvation. It's a story about God's love, His hope, and eternal life to humanity. This season, let us not only celebrate the birth of Jesus, but also embrace the salvation that He brings. May we, like the shepherds, proclaim the good news and glorify God for His indescribable gift for us. Amen. May we not let the story of Jesus flow through our hearts. Or may we let the story of Jesus flow through our hearts as we celebrate this season with family and loved ones. May we put others before ourselves. May we tell somebody this wonderful, miraculous love nugget from God that we have received in our salvation and through our birth of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I thank You for using me, for Your Holy Spirit speaking through me, Lord. Lord, I thank You for Your wonderful gift of salvation this Christmas time. Jesus, I thank You for being willing to do what we couldn't do, Lord. Lord, to be willing to be our sacrifice, Lord. Lord, because none of us are worthy to spend time in eternity in heaven with You. Lord, but God seeing that You need to send us that little love nugget, Lord. Lord, we thank You for each and everything that You do, Lord. Lord, we ask You just to put somebody in front of us this week, Lord. Lord, that we can tell about Your mercy, Your grace, and Your love, Lord. Lord, especially on Christmas Day, Lord, as we celebrate Your birth, Jesus. Lord, may we be bold enough, like the shepherds were, Lord. May we be bold enough to tell everyone else how happy and eternity, Lord. Lord, we thank You for each and everything that You do. Ask You to be with us at the next appointed time. In Your name I pray. Everybody say it.
Amen.